grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading is from Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals on the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 96 responsively. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. Word of God, word of life.
The Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show no deference to anyone, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test? You hypocrites, show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is on this coin and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, give therefore to the emperor what is the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I grew up in a family that had certain rules about things that you talk about in the house and things that you could talk about in public. Anybody else growing up in a house like that? Well, there was a few things in our house that we didn't talk about publicly. Religion, money, politics, we had a whole list. Jesus, however, in this short passage that we just heard, hits on all three of those. So if it's good enough for Jesus, sorry, Mom, we're talking about taxes. We're talking about politics, and we're talking about religion. In order to hear Jesus' words, we really need to put ourselves into that context of the conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Herodians. Taxes, always a favorite topic. But here they're talking about taxes, not in general, but about a very particular tax. The Jews in the first century had to pay a lot of taxes. They paid land tax, they paid property tax, they paid custom taxes. But the tax that we're talking about here is a very particular one and a particularly hated tax. This was called the imperial tax. And the Jewish people had to pay this tax to the Roman government. Every year they had to pay a denarius to the Roman government, to their oppressors, in order to thank them for oppressing them. They were required to pay a tribute tax to their oppressors for their oppression. So you can imagine this was not a tax that people looked forward to paying. But not all the Jews hated this tax. The Herodians, who were employed by the Roman government, did not hate the taxes. They got their positions of power by the Romans, and their pay came from them. But the Pharisees, now they were really opposed to this tax. They saw themselves more in line with the common people who were being oppressed. And they would have found this tax very offensive because it was a constant reminder that they were being oppressed. This coin that had to be used to pay the tax was also offensive just in its being. The coin had an image on it and a title, the image of Caesar, and the title, Divine Son of the Divine King. Do you remember the commandments? Thou shalt not have any other god and no graven images. To carry that coin in your pocket or in your purse is a reminder that you are breaking the commandments. You have a graven image, and the blasphemy on that coin would have been so offensive. And yet, this is the coin that they had to pay, use, touch in order to pay their oppressors. So the religiously devout knew that even touching this coin forced them to break the commandments. And every time they paid that tax, they used Roman money, and they were reminded that they were occupied by a foreign government, and they were reminded that the emperor proclaimed himself as God. So these two groups, the Herodians, who get their pay from the Romans, and the Pharisees, who hate the Romans and this idea of Roman money, get together, lay down their differences in order to trap Jesus. What's that saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So the Herodians and the Pharisees get together, and they figure out a way that they can trap Jesus. Now, most of the crowd would have been common folk, people who disliked the tax, people that would have been more on the Pharisees' side. They start out, the Pharisees and the Herodians, start out talking to Jesus with lots of compliments. They say, you know, you're really a man of your own. You don't let other people tell you or determine your actions or your teachings. And they, in fact, they even call him teacher, although they have no intention of learning from him. They think they have him cornered. And the question that they ask is really clever. They ask Jesus whether it's lawful. Now, they're not talking Roman law. They're talking Jewish law. So they say, is it lawful for us to pay a tax under Roman occupation? Are we supposed to pay this imperial tax? Now, if Jesus says yes, then the crowd would, who adored Jesus at this point, this is about a week before Palm Sunday when they give him all of that honor and praise as he comes into the city of Jerusalem. And so they know that if Jesus says, yes, it's okay to pay the tax, that the crowd will turn against him because they hate that tax and the idea of the tax and the blasphemy that that tax holds. But if Jesus says, no, it's not lawful to pay the tax, then the Roman government, you know, you're putting yourself up against the government, and, you know, that's never a good idea. So they think they have him trapped. But Jesus not only evades the snare, he entangles them in their own devices. Whose image, whose face is on this coin? Well, they produce a coin. You shouldn't be touching that coin. They got it in their purse. They show it to Jesus. And he asks the question, whose image is on this coin? And perhaps they're just overeager to advance their plot. His opponents forget that by even having that coin, they betray their own complicity with the Roman system. And in case that was missed, Jesus points out their self-indictment by asking, whose image is on the coin? Whose title is on the coin? And they answer, and they know as well as everyone in the crowd, it's the emperor's image, the emperor's title. And everyone there knows the blasphemy in that. And this puts a real edge on Jesus' response. Give therefore to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to God the things that are God's. And suddenly the tables are turned because they all know the truth that is marked in their hearts, the truth that everything belongs to God, the Holy One of Israel. And with just a few words, Jesus reveals that truth that his would-be accusers, and at the same time, he calls them to the deepest truth of God's authority. I think that's what Jesus is doing for us today, calling us to remember that truth. Jesus invites us to declare our allegiance. Maybe the key question isn't whose image is on this coin, but rather whose image is on us. Do we hear, do you hear the echoes of Genesis 1 that Jane read for our first reading? Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. So God created humankind in his image. In his image of God, he created them. Remembering that is so important. Remembering that our primary identity is as children of God, as those who are made in the image of God. That is so important. But figuring out what that means in our daily life, in our decisions, in our everyday actions, is not so easy. In our conversations about religion and politics and money, we need to, we should, we must, we have to remember whose image we carry. While we may feel very strongly about our political loyalties, before we are Democrat or Republican or anti-this or pro-that, we are God's image. And while we might be quite confident that how we spend our money is our business and no one else's, if we forget whose image we have been created, we may give in to the temptation to believe that we are no more than the sum total of our possessions, and that our bank balance tells the true story of our worth or our value. Jesus raises some very important questions for us, but he doesn't give pat answers. There are elements in our life that belong to the emperor and must be rendered unto Caesar, but our deepest and truest self is God's. And if we remember that, all of life takes on greater focus and meaning. To say that our deepest self is God's is a reminder that no matter what we may do or say, no matter where we go, no matter what may happen to us, we are first, foremost, and forever God's beloved child. It is that identity, that belonging, that shapes our lives, urging and aiding us to be who we truly are, the children of God, created in God's image. When I was in seminary, I took a class on stewardship, and the professor made a comment that I've never forgotten, a suggestion, really, that I try to follow. He made it a point, he said, to give more to the church in his annual pledge than he gives to the government in his annual taxes. For him, it was about allegiance. Who owns your heart? He could show himself with his checkbook who had greater authority over him, where his allegiance was the strongest. I think that's a good idea. We got our pledge cards last week. Maybe when you sit down to pray and ask God to help you determine what you might write on that pledge card, you might take a look at your annual taxes. When you're praying about what you're committing to the church in your annual pledge, look at what you paid last year in your annual taxes and ask yourself the question of allegiance. Now, before I stood up in front of you all and said this publicly, I asked Janine to pull up my annual contributions and see what I was doing, and I went home and looked at my taxes and I said, well, okay, I can say this. I can do this in public without having Jesus say, you hypocrite, to pay attention to what we are returning to God, the things that are God's. And what is God's? Only our whole being, our whole self, our everything. So whose image is stamped on you? In whose image are you created? I'm so glad that we had a baptism this morning, because we heard again those words of truth that were spoken over us and that we need to be reminded of as well. Not only for Beckett, but for all of the baptized. You have been marked by the cross of Christ and sealed with his promised Holy Spirit. You are God's coin. You are made in God's image and likeness. You belong to God. Amen.